In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, along with the great Susan Kochevar. How you doing, Susan?
I'm doing great.
Well, good. Good, good, good. Now, are you ready for the impossible question of the day?
I am.
All right, here we go. Let's jump right in. By the way, after that, we got to talk a little bit about what happened this weekend. It was crazy.
It was.
But first, 45% of people have cut back on this in the last 6 months. What is it? See, that's easy. Rioting.
Well.
Now, it was really big in the summer, but it's been cold since then. I know that I've been rioting a lot less. How about you?
Yes.
Have you cut back on your rioting?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Looting, burning. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Okay. So outside of rioting, though, what do you think people have cut back on?
Driving.
Driving? You know, actually, I'll go the other way. I think driving's up.
Hmm.
Because gas is being used more. By the way, folks, if you have an answer, give it to us on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. How about this? Social media posts.
Could be.
I think people are kind of, from what I'm seeing, you and I are both social media warriors, Facebook warriors and all this kind of stuff. But from what I've been seeing, a lot of people are kind of tuning out.
I think so. Yeah, they've had enough.
Okay. Well, you got any guesses or shall we go with that?
I'm going with driving.
What about you, sir? Charlie has nothing. He has absolutely... Oh, he threw his hands up. So you're saying people are throwing their hands up less in the last 6 months. You know, I've noticed that. I've absolutely noticed that. Okay.
I think so.
But first, did you hear what happened over the weekend, last night actually, on 225?
I did. I wonder how many of the listeners were caught in that.
Here we go. Yeah. Yeah. Drag racing. They were drag racing on 225. And let me give you the story here really quick. Street racers grit. Thank you, Charlie. They gridlock I-225. Police say 600 to 800 vehicles blocked access. All right. According to police, about that many vehicles were involved and intentionally blocked access on the shoulders of the highway. Police said there were reports of fireworks, smoke, and weapons being waved. The area was cleared before midnight, but police said it was possible the group would continue street racing in other areas. Okay, what's wrong with this picture? Help me out here, Susan.
600 to 800 people, cars? Well, I'm hoping that some people got their license plate numbers, and where were the police? They didn't break it up?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but 225 is a state highway.
Yes.
That means that the state cops should have been called in from all over the state, you know, the Front Range at least, brought in, and why weren't they arresting them left and right?
Yes.
You tell me, if you are a state cop or a group of state cops, state troopers, right, and they've got, and these people who apparently are shooting off fireworks and all this, have got cars blocking off access onto 225. Susan, you're a violent person. What do you do with those cars?
I don't know. I'd start arresting and towing them.
Yes. I'd not. And if I couldn't tow them, I'd knock them right off the thing.
Yeah. Push them out of the way.
Right. Now, I'm sure that they wouldn't want to do that right away because they didn't want anybody entering on there and being in danger, of course.
Right.
You know, first ones to go in have to be the cops. But why weren't these people arrested?
What, no one was arrested then, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm sure somewhere were, but what I don't understand is why weren't a lot? I would have been calling in cops from all over the area and saying, look, these people are going down in irons, okay? They're going in to jail. If you or I did this, we'd be in jail right now. We wouldn't be doing the show.
For sure.
So what's going on? Because then they say, oh, gee, you know, we think that they're going to be doing it again in the near future. What? How can they be doing it in the near future if they're in jail? which they should be.
They should be. And we have these things called drones. You could fly in, get their license plate numbers. Yeah. I mean, you don't even have to go in, you know, guns blazing or anything.
Yeah, but, well, I would go in.
Yes.
I would go in with a show of force. You can't have people simply take over portions of the highway. Sorry. I'm not one of these big, you know, cops going in with tanks everywhere and all that. But for crying out loud, we do have law enforcement, don't we? I mean, we're not an entirely lawless society now, are we? Can we please have the cops? I mean, if I go a few miles over the speed limit, they bust me in a heartbeat. Can we please have the cops bust people who literally shut down highways?
It's so dangerous. And it's a terrible thing to do to people. But I wonder, lost my train of thought.
No, that's okay.
One of those days.
You lost your train of thought. You know what that would have meant? That means you would have lost last night if you were racing.
Yeah.
You would
right.
not have been ready. Well, here we go. City council members, I guess in Aurora, say street racing has been an ongoing issue in Aurora and the surrounding metro for years. Yes, it has. It's been going on. Noting a proposal is in the works to help combat the problem. A proposal? Here, I got one. Enforce the law.
Well, and there used to be speedways that people could go and race, but now all that's been shut down, so those people have nowhere to go. Maybe we also need to stop shutting things down.
Yeah, by the way, open up the speedways.
Yeah.
Bandimir, our good friends, open
yes.
them up. Let them do what they do. And you guys who are racing, get out there and do it legally. But if you're out here doing it illegally, I'm sorry, Susan. I know I'm getting angry here, but anytime I do anything that's illegal, which, by the way, I don't, but, you know, I've gotten speeding tickets, you know, not a ton, but I've gotten a few. I park carefully, but if I were to park wrong, I'd get a parking ticket.
Those seem to be the only things that are being enforced anymore.
Yeah, why? They raise money.
Well, they raise money, yeah.
Yeah, so all the cops can do is raise money, but they can't enforce law to protect us.
Right.
So why are they raising the money? If they're not going to enforce laws that actually protect the citizens, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but on the side of their cars, doesn't it say something like to serve and protect?
I think they took that off.
Not to scare and collect?
Yeah.
Okay, because all I'm seeing right now is if you're a bunch of thugs, oh, they had fireworks. Really, that should make them easy to find then, okay?
Yes,
and
true.
They had guns. What do you have? Pea shooters? I mean, what do you, slingshots? What do you have? You're the cops, for crying out loud. Or maybe are the cops just wondering if they go in there, will the government, you know, the governor, mm-hmm. the mayors and surrounding area, will they have their back?
Probably not. They'll probably try to defend them. Interestingly, I saw where Mayor de Blasio's wife was calling for citizens now to intervene in crime situations.
Oh, good.
Because there's no police backup there. That ought to really make New York a nice place to live.
Yeah, let's talk Yikes. About that later because, you know, if she tells them to intervene, that means they're putting themselves in harm's way. And anytime they get harmed, they have a lawsuit. Real bright.
Yes.
And he wants to run for governor.
Yeah, I think he's trying to push Cuomo out.
Wow. Okay, folks, after the break, we're going to talk with Casper Stockham, candidate for Colorado GOP chair. We're giving all the candidates one last chance to win you over today and tomorrow. And Casper's up first. If you want to talk to Casper, because you'll probably do an even better job than me and Susan. We're great. But you're greater. Give us a call at 303-477-5600. And by the way, after Casper, we're going to hear from Jared Stepman of the Daily Signal. And finally, Al Sturm of A Good Shop. But first, Golden Eagle Financial. Do you know all the ways to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes? Well, Al Smith does. He knows all the best practices for making your money work for you, not the government. After all, it's your retirement, not theirs. By the way, Susan, don't you wish it was the government's retirement?
I wish it were mine. I work for it.
Right now, I just wish they would retire. But
yes, I wish they would.
Okay, but if you want your money to work for you, not the government, call Al at 303-744-1128, or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
You don't need to worry about outliving your money or how to fund extended care. Your retirement plan with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial provides contingencies for big unexpected expenses or sudden losses in the stock market so you can rest easy. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, has spent more than 30 years listening to people's biggest worries about retirement, and he's ready to set your mind at ease. Al has always been a careful listener, and after decades of hearing people fret about whether or not their money would last, he decided to specialize in retirement planning so he could protect people from huge healthcare costs and market volatility. 16 years later, Al knows how to direct your assets to the right places, preserving your wealth for the rest of your life. Tell him your concerns, and he'll create a plan that will help you sleep well at night. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Okay, Barber's Foods is up next. We keep saying it. Jared Polis has declared March 20th to be meat-free. So call Barber's Food right away. Place that order for the highest quality meats. Be ready for the 20th. Come on, you're an American. You can enjoy the best, healthiest meat around anytime you want. Call or text Barbers at 303-466-7338 or order online at barbersfoods.com.
Barbers Foods has been selling only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free, and natural food products in Colorado for over 70 years. Their mission is to provide only the best food found in the marketplace from family farms they know personally. Right now, click on March Madness Specials at the top of barbersfoods.com to find these specials and more. Barbers Farms, ground beef, made in Colorado, from Colorado raised beef in 1-pound packages, only $2.99 a pound. Thunder's Catch Alaskan Salmon, whole fillets on sale in March for only $12.49 a pound. And pre-order your Beeler's Duroc non-GMO spiral ham before Easter. Don't spend $100 or more for a spiral ham from a retail outlet. Buy wholesale and get a better ham at a better price from a family farm that Barber's Foods knows personally. Place your order today at barbersfoods.com.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
If scandal-plagued Cuomo can say Broadway can open, what about the science? What about the data? What about what the news media is telling us? It's all bull. You know it. I know it. Cuomo knows it. They're not shooting straight with us over any of this.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Susan Kochevar. And on the line right now is Casper Stockham, candidate for Colorado GOP State Chair. Casper, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. I'm here.
You're here.
I'm in my car because I'm in the wind, so let me get to my car.
Okay. And, you know, Casper, speaking of cars, I think the question everybody wants to know from you, because, you know, I know you. You're a very fast, reckless driver.
Yes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So were you out there last night drag racing on 225?
You know, I don't know why you're dropping a dime on me like that. I was out there. And you know, I apologize for my misbehavior.
Well, let me ask, how do you think that works? I mean, if you got like 600 people drag racing on 225, and, you know, what are they racing for? Are they racing for pink slips? Because if they do, let's say Casper's there, because we all know you're the fastest driver in Colorado. If you were there and you win and beat all 600 of them, does that mean you have to find a way to drive 600 cars home?
You know, I have no idea, brother. I haven't been in that arena for like 40 years, so I have no idea.
Yeah, me either. I never was. I'm a lousy driver. Okay, here we go. Casper, really quick. Right now, there are prominent blue state Republicans like Rick Grinnell in California and Lee Zeldin in New York, and they're smelling blood in the water. They're talking about running for governor. So I got a two-part question. First of all, do they have any chance? And second, how vulnerable do you think Jared Polis is here? Because right now it just doesn't look like a good time to be a Democrat governor.
Well, I think all Republicans across the nation have a chance. The challenge is, it's rare for the party to get serious about any of those races. The party never gets serious about the governor's race here in Colorado.
How so? What do you mean that they don't get serious about it?
They select a candidate that has no appeal to the, you know, to the common voter, put millions of dollars behind that person to lose. You know, I mean, we never select. It's always a great candidate, great personality with no money, or a, you know, a wall with a bunch of money.
Right, a bunch of money, but no grassroots support. You know what I've seen so often, Casper, is that we'll put up one of these that either, like you said, has no money, even though they've got the personality, or they got the money, but they got no army. Okay, right. You know, the Tea Party, the grassroots, nobody wants to march and walk for them. Am I right?
That too. Yeah. Oh. No, yeah, 100% correct.
Okay, you got a question there, Susan?
Yep. So can you let everyone know what at least three precise steps you would take on election integrity?
Absolutely. So the first step I would take is I would actually be a very vocal party chairman, and right now we don't have one, that's speaking out against the election irregularities, let's call them, that are happening even here in Colorado. There are lawsuits happening right now, you know, that we need to look at. I don't know how they're going to turn out, but I would like for my leader to be looking into those things, because I think there's some irregularities that happen even here in Colorado.
Okay, so first step, you'd blow the whistle. What would you do next?
Next thing, I would keep the pressure on the Secretary of State to make sure there's transparency throughout the entire voting process, from mail-in ballots all the way to ballot harvesting. You know, we've heard stories about ballot harvesting. Well, I don't know if any of those are true, but I want to find out, because a lot of that is illegal activity, right? So we should be looking into those things and putting the pressure on, keep pressure on the Secretary of State.
Right.
And then the last thing I would be, and the last thing I'd focus on, well, not the last, but one of the things I'd be focusing on is getting the free market back into our voting system machine process. For example, we have 64 counties, and 60 of the 64 run one machine and one software. That, to me, is not a good combination. We should have free market happening to where there's two or three choices, and they can be choices blessed by the Secretary of State, and then the counties are allowed to choose between those systems.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. Now, really quick here, you spoke earlier about candidates getting the right ones. How would you grow the bench? Because right now, nationally, the Republicans have a really strong bench of candidates, but here in Colorado, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. So the party is actually not supposed to put their, you know, the foot on the scale to pick candidates. What we are supposed to do, though, is make sure that there is plenty of options out there. So right now, I'm running an organization called America First Republicans, and we are training up grassroots candidates to run for office. I think the state should try to get as many candidates trained as possible so that they can run from everything from school board all the way up to federal office. Now, it's not their job to pick and choose those candidates. It should be just an open training, you know, to where people can just sign up and start getting in that process and getting the information they need, like the constitutional training and party platform training and policies and you know, how to challenge a bill at the state house and all these kind of things.
Okay,
so they can become really good candidates.
So basically, put the word out and then put the training out for those who are willing. It's a good idea. Okay,
yes,
Susan, you got a question?
And I'm already doing that, by the way.
I know you are.
With America First Republic. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. By the way, how's that going?
It's going well. We have 40 candidates in the pipeline right now that are going through. The first class graduates literally in a week or so. And then our goal is to have 250 trained by the end of the year, but I think we're going to blow past those numbers.
Okay, and once again, folks, we're speaking to Casper Stockham, who is candidate for Colorado GOP state chair. Casper, Susan has a question, but first, can you give us just your contact information if anybody wants to know more about you?
Absolutely. They can go to Casper, CASPER4FOR, Colorado.com. My phone number's up there. The email address is up there. You know, I actually want to hear from people, so it's easy to reach me.
Awesome. Thank you. Susan.
So one more question. Some groups don't vote for Republicans. Which groups are those and how can we reach them?
Some groups don't vote Republican.
Not as much. yeah. How would you do some outreach and reach out to some of the groups that just don't like us as much?
Yeah, I, w- Well, I would continue to do what I've been doing for 8 years, and that is doing outreach into the community. You know, I go to the NAACP meetings, and they don't like me much there, but I show up. And I'm the only Republican that shows up, other than Greg Lopez. He shows up a lot, too. But we have to start showing up more in those environments to dispel the rumors about who we are as a group. You know, I mean, they call us everything from racist to homophobes to, you know, the list. So we have to start showing up and start changing that narrative. Let me give you a really quick example.
Sure.
On the 19th, we're holding a barbecue at America First Republicans. It's not a barbecue for Republicans to talk about how horrible Democrats are and whatever. It's a barbecue so that we can reach out to the community. So we're opening up our doors. We're going to serve over 300 meals to the families and community around our office, and most of those are Hispanic families.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, really quick here, and I'm going to be asking all of the candidates this when they come back. Most of them are going to be on tomorrow. Casper, sure. I want to talk about unity. There are five candidates running for chair. That means, you know, four are going to lose. If you win, great. If you don't, will you still support the Colorado GOP fully?
I have always supported the GOP. The GOP has not always supported me.
I understand that.
So I have always tried to reach out. I've reached out to every chair that has sat in that seat for the past 8 years. So this cycle, I actually like a lot of the candidates, so that's not going to be a problem for me reaching out to them. The question is, will they reach back? Because I have always reached out.
Okay. But no matter what, you're going to still be down for the cause with the GOP and be a team player. By the way, Casper, I already know you are. But I want to ask every single candidate this, because I think it's really important that we know that we're going to be unified going forward. And one last thing I want to ask you, let's say you win. How are you going to reach out to them?
Well, if any of them want to participate in how we grow our party, I'm all for it. The challenge is, Andy, I haven't heard that any plan on how we grow our party. That's why I'm in the race, because I was listening to my opponents and I'm like, yeah, I'm not hearing how we grow the party. So if they have any ideas, I definitely want to hear them. I want to work with them. But I've got some ideas that have been brewing for 8 years, and we have to get these things implemented. We don't have a choice. If we don't do this, we never win again. I mean, it's over for statewide as far as the GOP is concerned.
Okay, Casper, 30 seconds. Give me your final pitch.
Okay, I'm the game changer in this race, folks. You know, there are some really good candidates running against me for sure. I like them all. You know, they're all good people. But at the end of the day, we have to have a game changer that's going to be enough of a game changer to flip the script around and get people running back to the GOP, not running away from the GOP. And that's what I bring to the table.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming on, Casper.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you, too.
You bet. Casper Stockham. Once again, candidate for Colorado GOP state chair. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to Jared Stepman of the Daily Signal. I can't wait to talk to him. He's awesome. But first, American National Insurance. Now, I know. You've had the same insurance for years, but competition is good. Give Paul Leuenberger a call and let him assess your needs and see if you're getting the right coverage. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But you'll know for sure with a little competition for your hard-earned dollar. Call Paul Leuenberger at 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789 and ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
All right, Novus Auto Glass, don't forget, if you need a windshield replaced with lane departure warning or lane keep assist, you may need a calibration as well, and that means you want the best company with the best technology. Go to rushtoreason.com/Novus, that's N-O-V-U-S. Let Novus keep your windshield on the cutting edge.
Take control of the process with Novus Auto Glass. Insurance companies want you to use one of their recommended shops so they get a discount. John Rush endorses Novus Auto Glass because he trusts the quality of their work. In today's modern car, your windshield has become a structural component of your vehicle. Unlike in classic cars, where your windshield was just something to look through, today's windshields bear pressure as part of the frame. Your windshield has become a safety feature of your vehicle, so quality repairs matter. With every repair or replacement, Novus Auto Glass records detailed specs, including the temperature outside, the serial number of the vehicle, and the type of urethane they use, so you can have confidence that your windshield won't pop out at the wrong moment. Instead of letting your insurance company choose the cheapest option, take control of the quality with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass now at rushtoreason.com.
Michael Bailey Law, you know, when it comes to setting up your will, you want someone who listens, covers all the details, because let's face it, you've never thought about those details, have you?
Am I right?
No. That's Michael Bailey. Michael knows all the problems that come from missing details in your estate. So give him a call at 720-730-7274, or you can find him at klzradio.com.
KLZ's mobile estate planner doesn't exclusively talk about death and dying. He also wants to help you plan for the rest of your life. Your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law protects you and your loved ones during your lifetime by establishing a medical power of attorney and a financial power of attorney now, while you still have all of your mental and physical capacities. That way, you and your family never need to go through the painful experience of trying to make those decisions during a crisis. Set up a free consultation with Michael Bailey now at klzradio.com/estate.
Was Jesus a socialist? The perennial question among human society is freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. Christ never uses force. Kim Munson here. Tuesday, Lawrence M. Reed, President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education, sheds light on what socialism really is. Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors will be in studio to update us on the latest regarding the small to mid-sized business markets. All this Tuesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Communication is power. Want to be a better communicator? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at KimMunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush, along with Susan Kochevar, and on the line right now, Jarrett Stepman from the Daily Signal. Jarrett, how are you this week?
I'm doing very good. Good to be on.
It's good to hear from you. Okay, I believe that you had something to say about Dr. Seuss.
Yes, I do. It's, of course, a story that has kind of blown up, certainly in the last week, that the Dr. Seuss has been canceled. The Dr. Seuss estate that essentially pulled a number of books from bookshelves. I think what was more interesting, actually, than simply that, they said that these books were racist, that they were inappropriate. What I think was actually more interesting than that is actually that it wasn't simply his estate that was removing these books. It was the Biden administration that actually had partnered with a large teachers union for the Read Across America Day, also stripped reference to Dr. Seuss books. And there's generally a call, I think, to remove them from public libraries, to essentially start pushing them off of public platforms. For once, I think, a widely beloved writer.
Jarrett, are we basically creating a society where everybody is terrified to be offended in any way, shape, or
form? Oh, we are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what's happening. And it really seems to boil down to if one person on social media says they are offended, that means we have to change our behavior. We have to cancel things. We have to get rid of them. I think that's really... I think it's fueling this kind of, I think, anti-speech behavior. I think it's fueling a lot of the canceling of historical figures, of literary characters, of pretty much anyone. And anybody could be offended by anything. I mean, it's this kind of roulette wheel of what people are going to be offended by next. It literally looks like a joke these days. I mean, just think about it. Just a few years ago, the idea that we would be canceling Dr. Seuss might work on a parody website, but the parody has come to real life.
Well, Jared, I mean, look, there are parts of America's past that are offensive, obviously. There's art that's offensive. There's words that have been said that is offensive. There are many things in our past that are offensive. But when people set out to erase everything they can about America's past, aren't they simply saying that they hate America?
I think that is a part of what is happening here. It doesn't allow us to actually deal with the complexities of the world, of history, of living in a society with other people who have different views. I mean, it's simply decided for us what we can and can't see and how to think. And I think that's a dangerous thing for a free society. I mean, we should be able to judge for ourselves what we think is appropriate or inappropriate, you know, and every generation has that opportunity. The idea that we're simply going to make things that make us uncomfortable, we don't like, go away through force. We're going to essentially intimidate companies into canceling different books and whatnot and banning books. That sends a very bad message. That's the kind of thing that happens under authoritarian regimes and unfree societies. I think it's very much against the general American principle. I mean, we want to seek the truth. We want to come to better understanding of things, not just simply embrace things that make us uncomfortable.
It's like living in junior high permanently, emotionally. You know, he called me a name instead of, you know, and being bullied all the time instead of this whole sort of sticks and stones idea, and growing up emotionally to be an adult and actually dealing with that, or just saying, fine, I don't care if you don't like me.
Yeah, Jared, what happened to us actually waiting for sticks and stones to break our bones? For us to, you know, to want to fight back or take people down. Now it's names, it's images, it's anything.
It goes beyond that. It's not just the names and images, but your silence on issues is violence. I mean, that's how we've gone completely the other way around. If you're not backing the causes that I believe in, you're committing violence. That's the kind of rhetoric that we're hearing now. We've had a complete reversal of this, and I think it puts us in a very dangerous spot. It's the idea that imagery and speech itself is a dangerous thing, something that can be shut up, that you can use the power of civil society, in some cases even the power of government, to simply silence people that you disagree with, you dislike, based on whatever it is. And that can be that is a perpetually changing thing. There's no set universal standard. It's simply evolving over time to, well, who's offended next? And I think that this has been made more rapid, of course, by the era of social media and things like this. But it's a very big problem for American society.
Have you heard of these ESG scores that banks are starting to use, which is sort of a social credit system and way of shutting up businesses and people?
Well, those kind of things definitely concern me very much. And I think that's the part of cancel culture, that it's not just simply you're going to be removed from a social media platform, that you can be essentially have the plug pulled from your access to finance, to banks, to really any of the things that, you know, people in a modern society need to just conduct their business. You know, they can't get a job anywhere. I mean, you know, what is that going to do to our society when we adopt this kind of Chinese-style social credit system that we appear to want to import to the USA? I mean, that is a kind of authoritarianism. It may not be government-sponsored, but the effect that it has on the lives of individual people is immense. And it intimidates people into thinking that I have to be silent. I can't speak my mind. I can't speak even what may be the truth because I'm afraid that I may lose access to those things. I'm just going to shut up. And I think that's what some people want.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jared, because it's getting to the point where your lifestyle, not just your speech, your choices in life are actually limited dramatically if you don't say what one side of the political aisle wants to hear. They are literally making it harder for you to get this job, go to this place, or do this thing just because if you don't agree with them. They believe that disagreement is hate. And because of that, you need to be shut down. But I will say this, they aren't silent. They're pushing their agenda all the way because aren't they pushing a lot of books that they would use to substitute for Dr. Seuss?
Well, that's the thing that was really remarkable to me, that, you know, this didn't get, I think, enough coverage, especially in the Biden administration. The list that they put out from this large teachers union, the NEA, was all, I mean, it was almost entirely political propaganda. It was all children's books about illegal immigrants, about boys who wear dresses. It was, and the whole list was just like this. There were very few books that were actually just simply children's books that were age appropriate. Almost every single one was some form or another of political propaganda. And this is what they want to bring to kids across the country. This is what they want to introduce in the schools. This is what they want to introduce through cartoon television shows. And that's a powerful thing. And it's often by the people who have screamed the loudest, who have had enough influence in the powerful elite institutions like our modern universities. And this is not just on college campus anymore. This is extending to all of American society. I think that Americans right now are having a huge wake-up call. When we see things like what happened with Dr. Seuss, this has been brewing for a long time on college campuses. Now we're getting a taste of what this really means when it's foisted on society, and it's an ugly thing.
You know, Jarrett, what really offends me about this is that I don't want my views forced on kids. I'm one of these crazies, okay? I'm a right-wing evangelical Christian. I'm crazy. I'm the most dangerous person alive. And yet, when I look at schools and when I look at, you know, kids being having books read to them in libraries and so forth, I'm only thinking of one thing: their success. I want that kid to grow up and have a better chance in the workplace. I want schools to only be gauged toward teaching them, not any agenda, not mine, not anybody else's, but how to succeed, how to go further in life. It just seems to me that all they care about is agenda. All they see with kids are people they can mold, whereas we on the right, I think, generally look at kids as people we can unleash.
I think you're very correct about that. And I think you see that, especially in the opposition you see to homeschooling or school choice programs or anything like this that would take students out of a system where they can essentially control the message, the indoctrination. I think that's the really mortifying part of this. They don't want people to say, hey, I don't believe in that message. I don't want my child to have that kind of indoctrination. I'll take them elsewhere. They don't like that. They want to have a controlled environment in which they can construct the reality for young children at a young age to make them think a certain way. You know, that is indoctrination. That is what's happening now in schools across the country, all across this country. And I think that's what's so worrying about this moment. You know, we've seen this so much, again, on college campuses. That's really being brought to classrooms, to kindergartners, to subject matters that have no business being politicized, like math. You know, we have woke math now, where ethnic studies are essentially brought to mathematics. You know, how inappropriate is this? It makes sense for those who want to create a kind of cultural revolution for our society. It doesn't make sense for those who simply want to give children good math skills so that they can become future engineers, so they become scientists, and actually unleash their potential as human beings.
Yeah, for crying out loud, there's one thing that woke math isn't, Jarrett. It isn't math. Okay, I'm sorry, but when you're designing a computer board, right, or you're designing the next space shuttle, or you're designing something, you're using math, and that math doesn't care what your color is. It doesn't care if you're gay or straight. It doesn't care if you're old, young, white, black, white, or anything. I don't understand why they are doing this. They literally want to tear down anything that is an absolute. I mean, I would think that they would look at gravity as racist if they could.
Well, it really does seem like that sometimes. And I think, you know, what they want is to deconstruct society. They want to push us over the edge. They want a cultural revolution. They don't care if people individually fail within that system. They don't care if young people who, say, are minorities and who are good at math but are not taught the proper principles to make them good at these things, they don't care if they fail as long as they can carry out the larger political agenda. And I think that's an offensive thing. I think it's going to destroy the potential of really millions of young Americans. It's going to make us less competitive in the world. It's making a mockery of what really, you know, what we think of as merit being the thing that brings people to success. It makes a complete mockery of that. It makes it impossible, and it really limits opportunities for people down the line besides those who are the politically connected, the activists, the people who have that kind of power to simply dictate to others. That's who that empowers the system. It's the apparatchik, not the regular person who's just trying to get through life.
Well, they're saying that getting the right answer is racist, and that's extremely dangerous. We can't put men on the moon like that. We can't produce medicines or give the correct amount of medication without the correct answer. They will completely destroy society and a whole bunch of young minds that who knows what they'd develop.
That's completely true. And you know, I think, you know, are they doing this? Are they teaching this sort of thing in communist China right now to students there? Of course not. They want to succeed and triumph over the West. We're going to fall behind if we're teaching kids that to succeed at math, well, you don't really actually have to get the math problems right. You just have to say what the teacher wants you to say about this or that social agenda. That's just a recipe for disaster. That's going to hurt our society. It's going to hurt individuals and actual people. It's a very poisonous set of ideas, but unfortunately, you know, it's everywhere. It's gotten into our education establishment. This is the kind of thing that they are teaching teachers to bring to classrooms all over the country. And that's what's so worrying about this moment, that transition is taking place. And I think it really is up to Americans and parents and really those concerned about future generations and what they're being taught to take a stand now. I mean, many schools are closed right now. When they open up again, this is going to be in a lot of the curriculum in public schools and other schools around the country. And this is the canary in the gold mine moment. You know, people need to think about this and what the implications are for our future society.
And Jared, if I may, I think that they are incredibly racist. They are, because what they're basically saying is people of a certain color can't handle seeing a Dr. Seuss book. People of a certain color can't do real math. And I got news for them. Some of the best mathematicians I've ever known were Black and Hispanic. Okay, and Asian, and so forth. I worked with a guy who, he was gay. He was phenomenal at math. I don't understand why we have to, when we do this kind of woke stuff, what we're really saying is these other groups, they're stupid and have to be protected from reality. And I think that's the worst racism of all.
It really is turning the soft bigotry of low expectations into
right.
an ethos. You're absolutely right. It is essentially racist, what you're doing and saying that these students, because they're of a certain ethnicity, because they're a certain identity, can't do this as well as other students. That you say, well, you don't have to write down your answers to a math problem because of your culture or whatever it is. But that is an offensive thing. It's condescending. It's really almost looking down on people and saying that you can't do this because you are this or that. And I think that's very, it's really un-American in its attitude, and I think it's incredibly poisonous to future Americans. We're going to have to deal with this.
All right, Jared Stepman, always the voice of reason. By the way, he has a great article out there right now, folks. Here are some books the woke left would replace Dr. Seuss with. It's on the Daily Signal. Jared, how can people see your stuff?
They can check out my Twitter, at Jared Stepman. You can go to our website, dailysignal.com.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jared. We'll see you next Monday.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Take care. Up next is Ascent Health Centers. Did you already blow your New Year's resolution to lose weight?
Yes.
Yes, me too. Well, Dr. Julie can help. There's nothing haphazard, just pure science mixed with years of wisdom. And before you know it, Dr. Julie will have you melting away pounds and living healthier. Call Dr. Julie at 303-343-8800 or go to ascenthealthcenter.com. It's a new year. Be a new you.
Dr. Julie provides both the scientific methodology and the empathetic accountability you need to lose weight. You've lost the weight in the past, but as soon as you started slipping back into your old habits, you felt like a failure. Now you've gained all of that weight back, plus some more, and starting over seems pointless. Both John Rush and Dr. Julie understand the daily struggle of staying healthy. The HCG diet at Ascent Health Center trains your body to convert unnecessary fat into energy, but you also need the mental and emotional fortitude to help you stick with it long term. Something as simple as a daily text message from a qualified weight loss guide could make all the difference between another yo-yo diet and a true lifestyle change.
Remember how much better you felt without the extra weight. Call Ascent Health Center now and mention Rush to Reason for 30% off your HCG diet plan. 303-343-8800.
All right, a good shop is up next. A good shop is on the cutting edge. They have outstanding equipment and technicians, but also a mobile estimating tool on their website. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Very.
So listeners can get estimates through their mobile app. So have this number handy. It's 720-541-7697. That's 720-541-7697. Or you can find their contact form at klzradio.com. Bad accident? You need a good shop.
You've already decided to take your vehicle to a good shop for auto body work because you know you'll get your vehicle back faster. Now get ready to be wowed. Al Sturm founded a good shop because he wanted to offer his customers convenient service while controlling the quality of his work. Once you go online to get your virtual mobile estimate at klzradio.com/collision, stop by a good shop in North Glen or Commerce City after hours to drop off your vehicle any day, anytime. Because they have so many different OE certifications, giving them access to parts directly from the manufacturers, Al and his team at a good shop have more control over how long your repairs will take. But more importantly, you know you can trust the safety of your vehicle. Customers continue to come back and refer friends and family because of the wow factor of their flawless finished product. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs.
Purefoy Chevrolet, if you're looking to buy a car or maybe you've got a late model vehicle you'd like to sell, again, Purefoy's got you covered. And of course, for the best selection of Corvettes in Colorado, they've definitely got you covered. Give Purefoy a call at 303-659-8311 or go to purefoychevrolet.com.
Going into the showroom at Purefoy Chevrolet, one of the things that struck me is that the people that work there, they're just regular people. You talk to the guy that's helping you, and you get the sense of, this is just another person. He wants to help me. He wants to make sure that I get the right car. He's asking the right questions, but without being pushy. I just get a sense that he's really invested in what I need to find for my family and for me.
Rolly Purefoy is not somebody who would ever brag about himself, but he has an incredible history with Chevrolet, and that's why he cares about those vehicles so much. He's actually been a test driver for some of the models, and he's even had some input in the design. If you just ask Rolly some questions about his history, he has the most fascinating stories. He's one of those owners who will just chat with you like an ordinary person. He's just one of those people you really need to meet. I would highly recommend Purefoy Chevrolet. They're a really remarkable group of people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Loveton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Your company is bleeding time and money, and John Rush will find those leaks. You're too stuck in day-to-day weeds to step back and see the big picture. You need a qualified, experienced business coach to take stock of your expenses and see where you and your employees are wasting time and money. John firmly believes that every business owner needs a coach because you're too close to the situation to be objective. Email John now and make more money. John@rushtoreason.com.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush, along with Susan Kochevar of the 88 Drive-In. And on the line right now, we have Al Smith from Golden Eagle Financial Services. Al, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Andy. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Can you hear?
Loud and clear.
All right, there you go. We can hear you okay. Hey, Al, you know, one of the things I really like about what you guys offer is that you don't just plan out people's retirement and so forth. That's important. But you talk about financial purpose. In other words, don't just have money there. Have a financial purpose for your retirement. What do you mean by that?
Well, people are going to spend, with longevity as it is right now, people are going to spend anywhere from 15 to possibly 30 years in retirement. So my primary task is to make certain that they won't outlive their money and that they'll have resources if there should be a healthcare crisis or something. But I also talk to people about how do you plan to spend your time? If you believe that you have been truly blessed, do you have a plan how you can maybe give back a little bit?
That's a great idea. I love that. So basically, don't just think about you. What can you also do for others in your retirement, right?
Exactly. And something that I've learned from the modest amount of volunteering that I've done and from others who are much bigger volunteers than I am is that once people get involved in that, whether it's volunteering at a hospital, a soup kitchen, whatever it might be, you know, tutoring young children, whatever that might be, is although you're giving back, you get probably as much benefit from it as they do.
Hey, we'll get the finances here in a moment, but let me ask you about this, because during COVID, a lot of people, especially the elderly, were told stay at home, stay at home, stay at home, stay at home. And I understand why they're at risk. But because of that, they're missing out on those opportunities to be out there and donating their time at these places that bring such purpose to life.
Well, that's very true. And I think the real toll of COVID may be greater in the mental health area than in the people who sadly have passed on as a result of COVID. Because the rest of us who have been confined to a great degree, those are difficult circumstances.
All right. Well, let's take a look at finances again. Al, I know that you have so many people come to you, and we all think, hey, why should retirement be any a different world for me? I've been handling my finances and budgeting my money month to month my entire life. Shouldn't I be ready for retirement? But people really aren't, are they?
Well, some are, but some, although they've been really good savers, have a certain level of uncertainty if what they've accumulated is going to last. And that's why, as someone who specializes in retirement planning, it's a bit different than a broker who works at Fidelity or something, and this isn't bashing Fidelity, Edward Jones, any company. They may be skilled at helping you grow your money, but once people make that transition into retirement, preserving your money and making certain if one spouse dies, there's enough for the survivor. If someone has a pension, if that pension would be continued for the other party, if there were a healthcare crisis and your expenses double or triple. So these are things that most people who are brokers and help accumulate wealth, they're not, in most cases, they're not even licensed to provide the products for that circumstance. And they're also not experienced because a great many of their clients are between, you know, 30 and 60. And when people make that transition, there's a lot of, you know, new questions that I find that they're asking.
Okay, we got about a minute left, and Susan has a question for you.
I'll make this quick.
Sure.
I've been reading this book, The Power of Zero by David McKnight. You might have heard about it. But essentially, what I get from that is people, you know, have saved money and they have maybe even some different investments and they think, oh, I have enough money. But the thing they haven't counted on is the tax rates going up and how that actually can just eat away at all of that. You wind up paying more taxes in retirement.
That could be brutal. And I wouldn't recommend it for everyone, but if I'm working with someone who has a reasonable window before they start requiring you to draw from your IRAs, let's say somebody about 60 or something, we often develop a strategy to convert part of traditional IRAs to Roth and also postpone Social Security. And a combination of those strategies can minimize people's taxes in retirement, even if they should change the tax rates, because I think Roth IRAs would be grandfathered even if they took some of those benefits away.
Right.
All right, Al Smith, if people want to be ready for the taxes, if they want to be ready for inflation, by the way, which could be huge, and if they want to find their financial purpose, how do they reach Al Smith?
My office number is 303-744-1128. They could get in touch directly with the radio station, which can also link them to my website, where we have some cool new videos and some opportunity to learn more. But the most important thing, of course, most useful, is to sit down with me here at the office.
All right. That's Al Smith. He is our retirement guru from Golden Eagle Financial Services. Al, thanks for coming on today.
You bet. Thank you, and have a great day.
You betcha. And folks, that's it for hour number one. If you missed this hour, it replays at 6. Now, coming up the next hour, we'll speak with Michael Beatrice, the author of COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial. He's been all over Fox News. Great guy. And then Richard Rush joins us for sports. Until then, keep it right here at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Average guy.